also a little bit deviating from the Meet the Mafarshim. It's hopefully still an interesting perspective on some well-known topics in Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso is some Torah trivia. What's it known for? Okay, Berachos Kohanim is found in Parshas Naso. It's also well known for being the longest parsha, right? 176 psukim. Does anybody know why? Another reason why that number is a significant number in Yiddishkeit, 176. Sorry.
Baba Basra.
Yeah. So the longest Masechta in Shas is Baba Basra, which is 176 blot. There's one more 176. Yeah, right. Kuf Yates, the longest parak in Tanakh.
Baba Basra skips number one. So.
Okay, that's true. Oh no, there is a Daf Aleph. It's a little bit different than the rest, right?
Yeah,
there's
a different printing is probably more or less.
Right. But the longest parak in Tanakh, which is Kuf Yates Tehillim, which is coming up. I don't know what we're gonna do for Nachayomi. It's gonna be a hard one. I think you have to balance that with Kuf Yud Zayin, because Kuf Yud Zayin is two psukim, and so you have to try to figure. I don't know. There's a lot to figure out. I haven't had a chance to think that far ahead yet, but. Kuf Yud Tes actually is also, because it's all letters of the alphabet, 8 psukim each, 8 times 22, it's 176 also. There's some sort that does speak deeper into that, not the Valturim, but they discuss that. But that's Parshas Naso. Happens to be that you could argue that it's a little bit artificially pumped up because, you know, Karbon, Karas Kesavachas, the end of the Parsha, there's like 89 psukim of it are the Karbonos of the Nesiim. But I want to talk about some of the other topics in the Parsha. Going through just really from the beginning, so it discusses the responsibilities of two of the Levitic families. Does a little bit of the counting in the Nevi'im. Speaks about people who are Tamei and the purity of the camp, sending out certain people who are Tamei. What's called Gezel Hager, stealing from a Ger. And, you know, someone steals, typically when you steal from a person, even if that person passes away, you pay it back to the person's family. A ger who doesn't have family, so you pay it back to the Kohanim. Then it speaks about the Sota. It speaks about the Nazir. It speaks about Birchas Kohanim. And then the next topic, and that takes us to Perek Zion. And then Perek Zion is all the psukim, or the karbonos, and the CM, one after another, 89 psukim in this perek, talking about the identical karbon mentioned 12 times, and then a sum total, just in case that wasn't enough for you, then it gives a sum total, so it adds it together for you, and that's 89 psukim at the end of the parasha. So the first question I want to ask that we're not going to be able to fully answer, I don't think so, I guess we'll see how we're doing on time, is trying to understand the connection between all these seemingly disjointed parts of the parsha. Again, we have the responsibilities of the Levim, we have the people who are Tamei, we have the Gezel Hager and what's given to the Kohen, we have Sota, we have Nazir, we have Birchas Kohanim, and all the Karbonos and the Nesiim. And what we'll try to do at least is we'll start somewhere in the middle, and we'll see, depending on how much time we have, we'll try to radiate outwards and see if we can get even more than starting at that one point in the middle. So the middle part that I want to start with are the two interesting personalities that we have in this parsha, and they are the Sota and the Nazir. Now, there's definitely significance to them being here, particularly the juxtaposition. What does the Gemara say about Sota and Nazir? The Gemara asks about just in the Gemara itself, right? It's lined up Nazir and Sota. The Mishnayos, the Gemara, are back to back. The Gemara at the beginning of, I believe it's Sota, asks the question, why does Sota follow Nazir? And the answer is,
abstains from wine eventually, but he thinks he's restricting them, and eventually his wife is going to come to sin. I don't know.
So
it's too much restriction.
We can flip that. Yeah.
Well, like if you deprive yourself from it, you're going to then you go back other way direction too far. Like you go to one extreme, then you go back to the other extreme.
That's interesting. So I haven't you seen that anywhere? That the reverse of that. So the way the Gemara explains it is the other way around. It could be that some would say also what you say, which is the abstention, right? Abstaining from wine is the proper response to seeing a sota in her degradation, right? Have you ever heard the other way around? That abstaining from wine too much, I guess, to an extreme can lead to this kind of reaction?
It would fit into the Rambam.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely the ambivalence of how we feel about the Nazir definitely fits into that framework of the Rambam of not going to extremes, though the Nazir also would seemingly be in line with that, because the Rambam says that he doesn't like extremes. He says everyone should find the middle path in all midos. Every midah, there's no such thing as bad midos. There's just bad proportion of midos of where you are on the scale. Then, of course, there are a couple of exceptions that Rambam says are very bad, but there's a famous contradiction seeming contradiction in the Rambam of certain midos, anger, arrogance that he says are very, very bad, but he seems to also say that they can be used for good and bad. But Rambam holds that you should not go to extremes. However, if you find a misbalance, an imbalance, in yourself, that there's something that you lean towards, so then you should go to the other extreme and then balance yourself out, which would seemingly be the role of taking on Nazirus. Now, what the Gemara says, and this is Rashi quotes this in Vav Bey, Perek Vav Pasuk Beis, Rashi says, Lama, right? Ki Yafli, Yafrish. Someone's going to separate himself. Lama Nismecha Parshas Nazir La Parshas Sota. Why does it separate Parshas? Why does it? Sorry, juxtapose Parshas Nazir and Parshas Sota. Lama Lacha to tell you Shekola Roa Sota BeKilkula. Anybody who sees a Sota in her degradation, Yazir Atzma Minayayin. He should separate himself, estrange himself from wine. This is right, the very beginning of Masechta Sota. The Gemara starts with this. Shehu Mevi Lidei Niuf, because wine brings one to adultery. And of course, adultery is why the sota is in her situation.
Suspected.
What?
Suspected.
Right. Well, I mean, well, adultery. The concept of adultery is why she's there. But yeah, she's not necessarily. She didn't necessarily do what what we're concerned that she did.
So what I find strange about this is that mm-hmm. I thought that the procedure is done in sort of very very private because you want to cover her hair. I thought it's only the kohanim, like in the corner of the base of the Mikdash. They do this? Is it done publicly so everybody sees?
I believe so.
Embarrassing?
Like, I believe it is quite. It could be. It's a little bit private in a very, very, very public format, but it's definitely mostly public, and a lot of people see it, and people definitely could pass by and see such a thing happening. So this is the. So that's what Rashi says, just to start off. So we see, and so much so that the Gemaras, the Mishnayos, were juxtaposed with each other as well. The Gemara then asks, well, what's with the order? Why does Nazir come first? And it says, well, because that's more related to the previous Masechta than the Darim. The Darim is about vows, and Nazir is a type of vow. But really, they're juxtaposed in Torah Shebaksav. They're juxtaposed in Torah Sheba'al Peh. So there is some sort of connection between them. And the simple way of understanding the Gemara is that there's some cause and effect. You see the Sota, you become a Nazir. But I want to suggest that there's actually something much deeper and a more fundamental connection that is also true of Rashi's saying. Rashi's teaching us almost from a halachic perspective, but I think there's something much deeper. So let's start out. We'll be based out of Parak Vav. Just I want to start with talking about the Nazir. The Nazir again, so what does Nazir mean? The word Nazir? The Mepharshim speak about the etymology of it. So it could be like Zar, which is a stranger. He's estranged. He's like kind of distant from other people. He's disconnected from other people. Even like Yafli is Rashi says is an expression of separation. It could also be a Zer, which is a crown. some sort of crown of something that's a positive thing. A crown also separates, right? When the king is in the room and he's wearing his crown, so he's clearly on a different plane than you and I are. Especially the Jewish king and a Kohen Gadol with his crown, his tzitz. So there's a crown that makes somebody separate. So Zer and Zara are, it makes sense to call the etymology of being connected of Zer and Zara. His hair, in a sense, is like some sort of Zer. It's like a crown. So anyway, that's what they explain the etymology of the word Nazir is. What are the unique mitzvos and particularly the three main prohibitions? There's subcategories and the three main prohibitions of the Nazir.
You can't be Tamei even for a relative.
Okay, right. You cannot become Tamei. And his level of holding back from becoming Tamei is akin to the not just the Kohen. Kohen Gadol. Right? Because the Kohen can at least become Tamei for his immediate relatives. The Kohen Gadol can't except for Meis Mitzvah. So he's almost like a Kohen Gadol in his obligation to refrain from becoming Tamei. Okay, what else do we got? That's what I meant by subcategories. So he has to refrain from drinking wine and by extension anything that looks, smells, tastes and acts like wine, right? It's actually complicated. Maybe not act like wine, right? Other alcohols are probably not included, but grapes and grape peels and grape seeds and things like that. So not drinking wine. And what's the third one?
That's worse than a Kohen, right? Regular Kohen, right? You can't have wine on the day that he's going to do it.
Correct.
But you can have grapes.
Right. Yeah. Right. So Kohen is only prohibited from when before doing the avoda. Right. Worse than a Kohen, but stronger than a Kohen. Yeah. And what's the third thing? Haircut. Right. You cannot get a haircut. Which also is, that's like the opposite of Kohanim, right? Because what do we know about Kohanim? Right, yeah. So there's an obligation to get a haircut and even more of an obligation for a Kohen Gadol that they have to look put together. So there's differences from a Kohen we see. Okay, so those are the three things, the three main halachos. So we see in, looking in Parag Vav, so in Zion we have Levivi Mole Achiv Lachos. So Lo Yitama Lehem B'Mosam, you can't come tamei for his relatives in their death. Kavachomer, anybody else? Why? Ki nezer lekav al rosho, because the nezer, the crown of seemingly, or of God is upon his head, so he can't do that. Kol yimei nezro kadosh hu la Hashem, he's holy to God all that time. You mentioned it's a little bit earlier in Pasuk Hey, Kol Yimei Neder Nizro Ta'ar Lo Ta'avor Al Rosho. He can't have a razor go across over his head, pass over his head. Ad Melotim Asher Nazir La Hashem Kodesh La Hashem Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. That the growth on his hair, of the hair on his head, shall grow. And then a couple of Pasukim earlier, Miayin V'Shechar Yazir Chometz Yayin V'Chometz Shechar Lo Yishteh Yayin V'Shechar, which is interpreted by Chazal as wine and very strong wine, intoxicating wine, or wine, just intoxicating wine, is he cannot drink. So these are the three prohibitions of the Nazir. Now, with these three things in mind, something I noticed many years ago is that they seem to not just be in this parsha, but if you look one perek earlier, this is in Perek Hay, when we talk about the Sota, we see some of these themes come out again. So starting in Perek Hay, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, V'shachav ish osa shechvas zera, v'nela min ish avinistra v'hi nitma. Right? So what did she do? She lay with a man, shechva zera, in a sexual way, v'nela mene isha, and she was hidden from the eyes of her husband, v'nistra hi v'nitma, and she was hidden, and v'nitma, she became impure, contaminated. So over here we have a mention of what she did, resulting in her atuma status. And as we go to the treatment of her, And this is in Pasuk Yud Ches on the same page in this Chumash. Avhemin Hakohen es Yishal Lefnei Hashem Ufara es Rosh Ha'isha V'Nasan Al Kapeha Es Minchas Es Yichron Minchas Kena'os Hi. Right, that it says that they would uncover her hair, uncover the head of her hair. But and look at this lashon though, it's Upara, Ufara, right? Uncover the Rosh. When we spoke about the Nazir, we said Lo Yavor Al Rosho Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. So now we have her hair is being uncovered, the Nazir's growing out his hair.
It's almost like the hair goes wild, like Pera Adam.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes. And then if you go a little bit more in Chav Dalid, so it says, what do we do? How do we confirm whether or not she is a soter that she did, you know, an adulteress? Vehishka es ha'isha es me'amarim ha'amarim. We make her drink. You make her drink. So we have a mention of the sota that she has a tuma status. Her something to do with her hair being uncovered and let loose and let wild, and she is given something to drink. Chazal even say, why is she drinking the May sota? That right, there's a special sota waters, and they put it in a certain earth, like lowly earthenware vessel. And you know, Chazal say why that is? What?
Everything from the ground. Who says it, that it's supposed to be reminded from where you came from? Is that the one where she came from and where she is?
Is that what it says? Who is the source of that? Rashi says over here in Chav Dalid. Maybe it's not Rashi there. No, it doesn't say Rashi. Maybe it's the previous Rashi, a little bit earlier. It says that she's drinking from this earthen vessel to say that she was with or might have been with this man that she wasn't supposed to be with, and how did it all start? She probably had a fancy goblet, a fancy wine glass Yudayan. Filled. What? Yudayan. Yeah, thank you so much. Listen, hey, you Zion?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see it. Mayim kadoshim shekutshu b'kior. So the mayim that's sanctified in the kior. That's what they give. Lefisha nas is a kior minachoshes maros hatsovos. The kior was made of these copper mirrors from the very righteous women in Egypt that were specifically with their husbands and for holy reasons, and she has deviated from their holy path. Okay, and big thank you. But kli cheres, this is the Rashi that I wanted. It's an earthenware kli. He hishkasa es hanoef yayin meshubach bekosas meshubachim. Because she, like, it's a little bit dramatizing the event over here. But she may have. It's quite likely that she gave her noef, her paramour, her adulterer, a wine yayin meshubach, wonderful wine bekosas meshubachim, fancy cups. So she's going to have this very bitter drink in a nasty cup, an earthenware lowly cup. It's a so we see over here that the her drinking is connected to wine. It's corresponding to the wine that she might have used to get involved in the situation in the first place. Again, very strongly connecting us to the Nazir. So we seem to have this not full reverse parallels, but the three prohibitions of the Nazir seem to be very connected to the Sota. You find them just the parts are over Parakeh. You find this theme. So what's going on? Furthermore. What's the very next thing right after we see Parshas Nazir? The very next thing we see, this is in Vav Chaf Beis Chaf Gimel Chaf Dal Chaf Echav Zecher. You have Birchas Kohanim right after, right? In Vav, this part of Birchas Kohanim starts in Chaf Beis. Vav Chaf Beis. Birchas Kohanim. Bracha. What's the end of the Sota? Mayim HaMa'arim. These cursed waters.
But if she turns out that she's really innocent, it turns into a bracha.
Okay, so she gets a bracha after, right? So we see that the sota, the one who actually did the thing wrong, there's cursed waters, and at the end of the Nazir parsha we have blessing. Okay, so now it's a little bit starting to tie things together. It's not perfect yet, but clearly there's something going on here. The Torah's trying to tell us something by putting the sota and the Nazir back to back, and not just to say cause and effect, which the Gemara sometimes does, and in fact there's the Gemara in Brachos. I forgot. I think Rashi does quote it here. After Gezel Hager, so it mentions the very end of the parsha of Gezel Ger, stealing from a Ger. As I mentioned earlier, what happens when you have to pay back the property if the Ger dies? Right? Again, you steal from somebody else, a regular born Jew from birth, and you steal from him and he dies, so you pay it back to his family. If he's a ger, he doesn't have any halachic family. I mean, he didn't get married, he didn't have kids yet, and then he passes away. So you give it to the Kohen. And then right after that, it tells us about the Sota. So Chazal tell us over here, it's Gemara in Brachos, that it explains this juxtaposition, right? That it says, it should be in a Parakei Pasuk Yud Aleph or Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Ish kisista ishto mak suv lemala min ha'inyan. What has to do with what's before? But ish es kedusha lo yiyu. So it should be for the Kohanim, that which he has to pay back. Imata ma'akev matanos ha'kohen. If you refrain from giving the proper gifts to the Kohen, chayecha, by your life, shetitzarech lavo etzlo lahavi lo es a sota. You're going to have to bring your wife as a sota. So you're not going to come to the Kohen at the right time and give him the gifts you need to come. You're going to visit the Kohen. Don't you worry. You're going to visit him when your wife is a suspected adulteress, and you're going to have to, one way or another, you're coming to the Kohen. So this is like this is again similar to the other Rashi and other Gemara that we saw. It's like a cause and effect. It's cause and effect. You don't do matnos kahuna, you're going to have to, your wife is going to be a sota. And then if you see a sota, you should become a nazir. But at another level, it sounds like the Torah is trying to compare the sota and the nazir. There's some sort of comparison in the three prohibitions of the nazir being something that you see by the sota. And in fact, the nazir is told, not only does Nazir refrain from wine, but he's told afterwards like to drink. It's unclear if he's being told you should drink or you're just allowed to drink, but it's the opposite of the sota. So of course there's the point of like, why should I become a Nazir just because I saw a sota? And the idea is that this is what caused this, her giving into temptations and taivas because of the wine. So you're trying to hold back from that, trying to abstain. Ramban does note that this Nazir is really the antithesis of the sota. The sota is someone who gave into these temptations, didn't have the self-control, and the Nazir is the one who's super in self-control. But I want to look at one more point, which is the connection between the Nazir and the sota. So the Shabbar already mentioned that Nazir and Birchas Kohanim, that there's something about the bracha that comes afterwards, that someone who's sota, so there's a bracha that comes. But why is that after Nazir? Why is Birchas Kohanim after the Nazir? So Ibn Ezra says that he brings out that the Birchas Kohanim is mentioned here because just as he is kadosh, so are the Kohanim kadoshim. That's like the lashon of the Ibn Ezra. That there's something special about the Nazir, and he's holy, and so are they. So just to take that in the light of that, but taking it a little bit further, perhaps it's a response to the Nazir's desire to be like Kohanim. Now we mentioned that he's not exactly like Kohanim, but he's probably hanging out more with Kohanim because where the Kohanim are not going, that's where he's not going. They have to take alternate routes to get places. So he's going with them. He's much more in line with them than everybody else. yes, there are differences, and you know he has a different hairdo, and that's noted. But also he's refraining from wine more so than them. But he's elevated himself to be kind of like a Kohen, and it's a confirmation. The Birchas Kohanim mentioned right after is almost like a confirmation of him really achieving such a status. So it could be that there isn't only a significance in the juxtaposition of the Matnos Kahuna and the Sotna and the Sota, right? That's the way we originally saw it. That the Matnos Kahuna is followed by Sota, because if you deprive the Kohen from his due, then you're going to bring the Sota there. But it could be that the Parsha of Nazir is also supposed to be attached. That we're supposed to look at Sota and Nazir as a package deal that follows the discussion of the Matnos Kahuna. It's a package deal. That it's not Matnos Kahuna and Sota. It's Matnos Kahuna and Sota Nazir. Okay. So what does that mean? That the parents of the Sota and Nazir are two different reactions to interactions with the Kohanim. How do we view the Kohanim? So the way Chazal understood that first connection is that you have the Matnos Kahuna. So someone's not giving the Kohen their due. Why not? Why isn't he giving the Kohen what he's supposed to give the Kohen?
Because he feels it's his own work. That why should I give the Kohen?
It's mine. It's mine. These parasites.
Exactly.
Right. I'm working very hard. And this Kohen sitting back and doing whatever is a parasite, and I have to give him. So it's a lack of appreciation of the Kohanim who are the leaders and the inspirers of Klal Yisrael, teachers of Klal Yisrael.
There's a lack of appreciation that all money and comes from Hashem.
So
you think it's your effort.
That's also true. That's also true. At the very least, though, at the very least, have the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect. But yeah, for sure, that's true, right? Whatever Hashem says, any mitzvah, you don't do it, you're not appreciating what Hashem gave you, right? If you're not putting up a mezuzah, you're not appreciating the house that Hashem gave you. If you're not wearing tzitzis, you're not appreciating the clothing Hashem gave you. You're not, any gift that you that Hashem has given you, you're supposed to use it in some way or another for Avodas Hashem, so for sure. But at least in a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro reason, even if I'm not that from, I don't care so much. But at least like the Kohen, he's there. He's facilitating the Avoda and the Beis Hamikdash. He's there to inspire. He's there to teach. He's dedicating himself to learning Torah and teaching Torah. At least he doesn't. They weren't given land. They're given places to live. They weren't given land. It's my responsibility. I have to help him out. But you don't view him like that. If you view him like a parasite, so you withhold Matnos Kahuna, and of course that attitude. Also, I think part of this is that's a type of attitude that leads the Sota. Meaning, somebody who the person doesn't give the Matnos Kahuna to the Kohen is somebody who deprives somebody of their due, and somebody who is like that with the Kohanim is likely going to be that in his own home as well. So he deprives his wife what is due to her and doesn't appreciate what she does for him, especially, behind the scenes and this and that. And he gets home and the dinner's not ready yet. And he's so upset about so many things and doesn't appreciate how hard just to put herself together after everything she did to keep the home together. And he doesn't give her a due. He doesn't give her time, his obligations to her. He doesn't provide for her the way she needs. So it's the same bad mida with Kohanim that can definitely spill over into home life, or maybe it's probably often the other way around, right? It's the home life that spills out to outside to the Kohanim. So it's the same mida that's going to result in that. So that's just, I guess, a little bit more of a rationalistic explanation of that connection, but I'm sure this is mystical as well. So we see this mida, but it's not appreciating the Kohanim and viewing them as these parasites and viewing as a people, I don't need to give them their due. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, that not just someone who sees the Sota in their degradation, but someone who sees the Kohen in their prestige, in their honor, and someone who does pay his due to the Kohen and sees how the Kohanim are and how they conduct themselves and how they live in an exalted way. And he says, I want to be like that. Could be there's also a place, you know, we spoke about the extreme and the ambivalence of a feeling of a nazir. Is it lichatchila? Is it not lichatchila? What are they supposed to do? But at least conceptually, to say, that's amazing. The way the Kohanim live, that they don't become tamei, that they, before they do the avoda, they don't drink, that they're just living more exalted lives. I'm not a Kohen. I wasn't born that way. I wasn't born into that Kohanic society. It's not something I grew up with, but that's something that I really value and cherish. I love that. I would like to be able to connect to that. And that person is the other route, right? So coming out of Matnos Kahuna, you have two different paths, Sota and Nazir. It's not just cause and effect, but it's two different choices somebody can make in how they react to the Kohanim. And one ends, the Sota ends with cursed waters, and the other path of Nazir ends with Birchas Kohanim. You have, to some degree, reached a level of the Kohanim, because of your love for them and for their lifestyle. And that's why there are parallels in the Parsha of Sota and Nazir. It's not just explaining the juxtaposition, but the parallels within. That certain things about the Sota, these three things come up by the Nazir, and vice versa. Because there are two alternative paths and responses to interactions with the Kohanim. So, you know, one could view the Kohanim as parasites, and on the other hand, they could be inspired by the Kohen and try to aspire to reach his level of Kedusha and become a Nazir, who we said is not just Doma LeKohen, he's Doma similar to a Kohen Gadol. And and that's, I think, a major theme in this Parsha. Let's just see what we do. Okay. A major theme in the Parsha, and throughout, I think there's a lot of that, you know, being exalted and lifted in the Parsha. The Parsha itself is called Parshas Naso. Right, so, and we start off talking about the Levium and their the masa, their burdens that they're carrying is also a lashon of naso. We're speaking over here about, and you see the word Yisa coming up, Tisa Avona, her bearing her sin, carrying her sin, and two different responses to the Kohen. Are you going to be lowering yourself, like carrying sin, or elevating yourself? Yisa Hashem panav elecha, right? This elevation is also Parshas Naso, and of course the last 89 psukim are about the korbanos of the Nisiyim, which is also a lashon of Naso, of being elevated. So it seems to be, I'm not explaining all the pieces fully at this point, but it seems to be that there is a theme of this elevation of being exalted, and I think also looking at leadership. And we have at the end, we have the beginning with the Levium, the end with the Nesiim, and in the middle with the response to the Kohen, are you going to be a Sota or a Nazir? This is how do we review our leadership? How do we are they parasites, people who are learning Torah, people who are teaching Torah, are they people living with us, or are they people that are doing so much for us? And, you know, we have a Rav here clearly who does so much for the community, and it's very apparent. And to realize and appreciate that, of what they're doing, and to try to aspire to be like that. Not to not give their due because I don't need them, but to say, wow, that's incredible that someone can do something that's so great. And then to see him at the end representing their tribe, and each one donating of his own personal wealth to represent his tribe and elevate. And people can look, oh, why is he in charge? Why is he's in charge? And that's a little bit of a theme, as we're going to see later on in Sefer Bamidbar, unfortunately. Of course, most famously, where do we see this? The vying for leadership and not respecting leaders. And Meraglim, yes. We see them by Meraglim. And by Korach, I think it just gets awful. Awful, like by Korach and the vying for leadership. And everyone's, you know, it's like a little bit of communism of everyone's equal, but I really want to be the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Kadoshim, but I want to be this horrible perverted leadership. But in this parsha, we see two different paths we can take, looking towards Talmidei Chachamim, looking towards the Kohanim, looking towards our leaders. Again, we're not talking about secular political leaders that maybe are less than stellar examples of what it means to be God-fearing and good moral people. Not talking about the political world. We're talking about within the Torah world, within righteous kings, within Kohanim, with Talmidei Chachamim, within Gedolim, to be able to look at them and take the approach of the not the approach of the Sota, rather take the approach of the Nazir and Ritz Hashem. We should be able to do that, and Bizocha to all the brachos mentioned in the Parsha.